Welcome, and thank you for joining the J to the Third podcast, featuring 30-year PGA professional Joey Hickman. This show will highlight golfers from Tennessee and beyond with stories of faith, fairways, and philosophies of teaching and coaching, both golf and life. You will be challenged, entertained, and encouraged by the guests on today's show. J to the Third stands for a lot of Jesus, a lot of joy, and a little bit of Joey. And now, let's welcome our host, Joey Hickman.
Welcome to J to the Third. My guest today will be Sloan Biddle. Sloan has been a student of mine for as long as I can remember. She's a senior in high school, 18 years of age. I think we have been working together probably on and off for 10, 12 years. The last 3 years, a lot. I think you'll enjoy the podcast today. She has a lot to offer and a lot of insight on the recruiting process, how she landed at Belmont University, and other things that might help us along the way. And she's got a very unique approach to her coaching style. I think you'll enjoy that as well. I want to thank my friend Steve Kirkpatrick for always being such a wonderful sponsor of the show. If you need anything golf related, go see Steve at Kirkpatrick Golf in Donelson, Tennessee, located at 2547 Lebanon Road. He's got everything you would ever imagine for repair. He uses the Ping fitting system for irons and woods. He's got a simulator there where he can check whatever needs you may have. He's got several loft and lie machines, an iron bending machine, a putter bending machine, a frequency analyzer, and anything that you may need in grips or services that he offers. I'm grateful for his friendship. He even allows me to teach there some, so you might see me and my TrackMan in there occasionally, giving some insight and wisdom to some new students that I have. Come by and see us at Kirkpatrick Golf. Hope you enjoy the show today. Welcome to J to the Third podcast. Today we have a special guest, one Sloan Biddle, rising senior at Donelson Christian Academy and recent Belmont University Ladies Bruins golfer. Welcome, Sloan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Folks, we go a long way back, and we'll jump into some of that as we get into this interview tonight. I just want you to get to know the young lady that I've gotten to know the last, 10, 12, 13, 14 years, however long it's been.
Yeah, seems
like 100 years, but it's only been like 10 or 12. But
maybe for you.
Yeah, you know how it is. You made me gray. So yeah. Let's jump back. How in the world did you get involved with golf? I know you guys joined Old Hickory, and you and both your sisters did junior golf. And how did you get the desire to want to play and to become the phenom that you are?
Well, I think at like an early age, I was just a part of a good community where it was fun to play golf. And my parents just decided to put me in junior golf, and that's where I met Joey. And it was just so much fun because I think I was just really competitive. And obviously, whenever we got to win the tournaments or the matches or whatever, got to get a Shirley Temple at the end, it was motivating. But yeah, that's like how I got started. But a little later on, I got, I was old enough to play in the PGA Junior League. And it was so much fun, and I met just a lot of people that I'm still best friends with today.
Well, the junior league was really something. I remember when we started doing that at Old Hickory, and just how everybody just had so much fun playing and meeting people. I mean, you competed against people that you played against all through high school, right?
Yeah, like so many people I recognize.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've just gotten re-involved with PGA Junior League again this year, and looking forward to introducing them to the game that I love and treasure so much. And we've got 19 kids signed up, so that's going to be pretty good. So let's go back. One of the first times that, y'all were probably members for several years before this happened, but I want to say you were about 7 and you came into the pro shop
And you looked at me and you said, what do you think it's going to take to win? We were playing a parent-child scramble, and it was like five holes. I said something like, I don't know, maybe even or one over or something like that. And you put your hands on your hips and you said, well, we're going to win. We're two under. And I went,
it was intense.
From that day on, I said, man, this girl is going to be something else. I said, she's either going to be a spitfire or she's going to be pretty good. And you have definitely filled the role that I thought you were going to fill as far as being a good player. I don't think you're a spitfire. I think you're a wonderful young lady and
okay, good.
Proud to associate myself with you. So junior league, parent junior, all of these things going on at the club made you love the game. What did you love the most about it?
I think just getting to know a lot of the kids that were also members there, because we would always just eat together and go to like the buffet after. And then once we finished eating, we went to the putting green, and then we just went to the range and hit ball, see who could hit their driver the farthest, just like competitions like that. It just made me, that was the most memorable part for me.
You know, I think I remember some of those times that mm-hmm. junior golf would be over, and I would look down at the putting green, and there would be 10, 15, 20, 30 kids on the putting green having a putting contest or something, and the rest of the group would be down on the driving range having a long drive contest. I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
And at that time, you remember how many kids? We had like 80 to 100 kids in junior golf.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like the whole putting green was like filled up on the side.
Yeah, it probably had something to do with the head pro there. I'm sure that was the majority of it. I'm sure definitely. That was a lot of it. So you rose up, you won the middle school championship for Donaldson Christian Academy.
Mm-hmm.
We never got to win the championship for the high school, but you played really well and you had a fantastic senior year, and mm-hmm. couldn't have been more proud to have not only been your golf coach, but to be your swing coach as well, and to mm-hmm. see how well you you advanced. I know along the way you made a lot of friends with a lot of good players, Bella Bug and Isabella Johnson and Catherine Pardue, all of these phenoms that are going to major D1 programs to play golf. And here you are recently signing with Belmont University, which I know mom and dad are glad to keep you close to home. And I think your swing coach is glad that you're close to home. This is a pretty big deal. This is a D1 program that came along and scooped you up and signed you. What sealed the deal to get Belmont to have you play for them the next 4 years?
Well, it was really stressful at first because I was in between two schools. I was either going to go to Lee University in Chattanooga in Cleveland, Tennessee, or Belmont. And I was like, I really loved the coach at Lee, and she was just such a great person, and I really grew to admire her. And I don't know, I feel like Belmont was just a better fit for me. One, because it was closer to me, or like to my family, and I knew that environment was just such a great environment, like Christian, and they had a lot of great other programs. And it broke my heart to like tell the other coach, like, I'm sorry, like I won't be choosing Lee, but I really liked Belmont's campus and their team just has a really good culture. And yeah, I'm just really excited about the next 4 years.
I don't think you could have made a bad decision either way. I think it would have cost me a lot of miles to drive to Cleveland periodically.
Yeah.
But I think either one of those places would have been very glad to get you. I know Belmont is excited. I know there'll be a lot of good things down the road for you, a lot of local golf that you get to play, but Belmont travels to some really neat places. So I'm really looking forward to see what happens with that team and with your advancement there. It's going to be a lot of fun. While we're still talking about golf, obviously the Masters is going on right now. Who's your pick? Who's going to win?
My pick is Scotty. I mean, you can't really go wrong with him. He just has such a great consistency throughout, like, his tournaments this year. And he's just like such a great guy. So
he's phenomenal. Phenomenal. He's just I think he's everybody's consensus pick. It's gonna shape up to be quite the event. I mean, Tiger just made his 24th cut in a row for the Masters, a new all-time record. Danny Willett, former champion, is playing well. Max Homa, guy that could potentially win it, tied at the top. And there's Bryson DeChambeau representing LIV Golf right there at the top. I think the weekend's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch.
I got to go down there the last couple of days for the first time ever, and I'm telling you, Sloan, you got to go. It's second to none. It is second to none.
Did you get the food?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bought lunch both days for the guy that drove me down there and myself, and the most I spent for the two of us was $10.50.
That's perfect. Should be.
That's two sandwiches at $1.50 each, a bag of chips for $1.50, and a couple of drinks, a couple of unsweet iced teas for $2 a piece, and there's $10.50. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. That's phenomenal. I got quite a few of those pimento cheese sandwiches, too. I'm just going to
good.
Put that right out there and be very honest about everything. I think it's pretty good. So who's your favorite golfer, male or female or both, one of each?
I mean, I've kind of just grown up liking Jordan Spieth and like, what's his name? Scotty and Tiger, obviously, and Justin Thomas. But I don't know. I like a lot of female golfers too. I like to watch Annika Thornstein. She's really fun to watch. I got to watch her play in the U.S. Women's Open. It was just so cool to like see them in person. How calm they are.
Else. It's a different world, you know.
Yeah.
They don't let things rattle them. I think that's a trait that all of us could put to use and make it part of our daily life. Don't get too high, don't get too low, and just accept the good with the bad and do the best that we can. I like watching Nelly Korda. I was about to say
she's great.
She's probably got one of the best swings, male or female, out there. And I remember Tony Finau when he played with her earlier this year in the Grant Thornton PGA LPGA crossover event. He talked about she had the best swing, period.
Yeah, it's so graceful.
That's a lot, you know. And I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Yeah. I think she's fantastic.
She's great.
Fun to watch, and she's a good role model. Comes from good stock.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
All right. A lot of times when we're together, I guess for almost the last 3 years, we've been together once or twice a week working on swing or talking about life, talking about golf. And I would ask you periodically, what's God been showing you lately? So I'm going to ask you that now. What's he been showing you? What's he been teaching you in your life or what you've seen around you lately?
One thing that he's been teaching me, I think, is not to worry. Because this past year has been very stressful with like the recruiting process and like where I'm going to go to school. And I look back at this verse, it's John 15:27. It's like, do not be afraid, or don't let your heart be troubled. And I feel like I totally just needed to see this verse because I just need to know that God has a plan for all of us and we just need to trust in him. Like, and we shouldn't stress about anything because wherever he leads us, it's where we're supposed to be. And I feel like God is just leading me to go play at Belmont and not to worry about anything because it's all in his control.
That's good. That's wise advice. I think so many times we get wrapped up in the here and now. And, look, let's face it, life can be very hard. Life can be very easy. Through it all, he's there with us. He's walking beside us. He's teaching us things about himself. He's teaching us things about ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we just have to be open to whatever that is and let him show his hand and we follow.
Yeah. Very true.
That can be in anything. Obviously a couple of years ago, I remember talking to your folks after Shelby passed away. And they were talking about when I was able to, that you were having a hard time with it, and they would really appreciate it if I would reach out to you. And I remember talking to you, and Sloan, I think that's the first time we both just really couldn't say anything. We just kind of sniffled and cried, and you know, I know she meant a lot to you, and I know she meant a lot to a lot of people. And I just want you to know that I'm thankful you were in her life. I remember those times when you and Kennedy and Ellie were gathered around the cart with her when she was in her little car seat, and y'all just made her feel like such a big girl, and it made this daddy proud. And I was just so glad that y'all were so close to her. And I know it hurt when she passed, but even in that, I think God is still showing me things, and I think he will probably until it's my time to go home as well. But I think he's showing me a lot about himself, that he's really all we need. We don't need anything else. I would love to have that little nugget back and just hear her laugh and be able to bounce her on my knee and all those things. I'd love to have those moments back, but you know, I wouldn't trade any of that for anything. And I just think it's really kind of cool that y'all bonded the way you did, and you always ask about her. And gosh, for the last couple of years, you played a golf ball with her logo on it. You even had a bag with her logo on it. So
yeah,
I know she meant a lot to you, and I'm just here to say thank you.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to not make either one of us cry. That's the biggest thing. So. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what we've been doing with your coaching, my teaching of you. We've been working with TrackMan now since August or September. We've been working with that. You helped me learn a lot with TrackMan. What's one of the biggest things that you've come to understand or to put into practice in your regular routine that TrackMan may have shown you?
Something that I have thought about is the path and the face and how they work with the club. And every time that my flight goes way left, I'm always like, oh, I'm just coming over the top and my hands are just like coming over my body. But really, like the toe is just closed, and I feel like I needed to know that correction, because I would have never thought about that. That my swing is good. It's just the club face just working much left.
You know, that I think that was the biggest thing for me too. When I saw that ball fly to the left without TrackMan, immediately I thought she's coming over the top of it. And you know, you got a little steep with it and whatever else. And man, we got on TrackMan. We found out your path was a couple out to the right, and your face was about six to the left. That ball there was no way it was going to fly straight. It was starting left and going further left.
Yeah, now it's just a quick fix on the range.
Quick fix. You started hitting these high balls, and I think there might have been a couple of times in there where you hit the ball a little bit further than your coach.
Always.
Yeah, I think that was hard for him too. I really do. that was pretty mind blowing to me though, to just see how you could make the change just by knowing, hey, the face is just a little shut. Let's get that corrected. And man, you started hitting that 3-wood high, the 7-wood high. You start hitting your driver better. Your irons are just rock steady. Kudos to Tim Segarich down at West Haven for fitting you into those things. But man, you understanding face and path, that's made my job easier as a coach, I'll be honest with you. It's you know, hey, can we get her putting the ball a little bit better? I think you're onto something there with that jailbird. But I also think knowing face and path with the putter, and you know, TrackMan has shown us a lot about that. That's pretty cool little device to be able to have that at our disposal and get better every day. If we get 1% better every day, man, by the end of the year, we got a pretty formidable weapon to take to the golf course. And I'm pretty excited about that. I think that's been it's been mind blowing to me, but it's been eye opening as well. I got to go back to a bunch of people. I used to tell them they all came over the top because that ball was going low and left.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always right.
Yeah.
Gotta have a camera, awesome. And gotta have track man. Can't make a guess anymore.
Right. It's
there's
awesome.
No need to. Yeah, there's no need to now that you've got that at your disposal. That's mm-hmm. that's second to none.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself you know, the next couple of years at Belmont? I mean, do you see yourself being a leader on the team and bringing home some championships? What's in store for Sloan? What do you think's out there?
I feel like I'll probably be a big part of the team just because I feel like I'm an encourager on the golf course, even though it's hard for me to just stay mentally like focused and emotionally. But I feel like I can encourage the other teams now that I have like a teammate that we can just like bond together. And I feel like we'll just come together and work really hard to hopefully win a couple championships.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd
be
great.
Awesome. You're going to make some incredible friendships both on your team and on other teams.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to play in a bunch of conference tournaments, you'll see those people regularly. And I've got friends from my days at Tennessee Martin 40 years ago that we're still in touch with. We talk regularly. It's something that you will take with you for the rest of your life, and you've got some wonderful memories that you're about to make.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Beyond that, what do you see Sloan doing?
I don't know. I feel like I can see myself coaching maybe on the side just for fun, just because I feel like I'm kind of called to like influence other people. And I've already started to coach a little third grader, and I feel like she's made a really big impact on me and how fun it would be for me to just keep doing this, but not really sure what else.
Can't wait until that little 6 or 7 year old walks into your shop one day and puts his or her hands on their hips and goes, "We're going to win." You're going to look at them and go, "Man, I was you once."
I know. She's already doing it when I'm working in the pro shop.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be pretty special. I think you know, your calling. You're an mm-hmm. encourager. I'm gifted with exhortation, which is encouraging is part of exhortation. And I think that's part of your giftedness. You're quick to, speak out for those that need to be spoken out for. You're quick to defend your friends. I think you're very spot on with your assessment of yourself, and I think the team is going to be really glad that you're there. Because a lot of times, you know, when you get to playing bad, I'm not talking about you, but I'm just talking about the golfer in general. When you get to playing bad, you want to isolate and you want to kind of be by yourself and not do things with other people, and I think your role is going to be to kind of help pick them out and get them off an island and get them back into the fold. I think so many times in golf we talk to ourselves very negatively, and we don't ever do that in life. I mean, we don't curse ourselves or stomp our feet at how we look or how we did on a test or all that stuff. You know, mm-hmm. we're always encouraging ourselves, and I think we need more of that. And I see God's hand on you in that. I think that's a good thing that you've already noticed about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna be a lot of fun to watch you grow into that.
Yeah,
you're 17 going on 30, and I think that's a good thing. And I think I told you could start dating when you were 32. So
yep,
that's
definitely.
30 also, not 32. I'll cut you 2 years short there. That'll be
Thank you. Be
a good thing. Yeah, there you go. 30 is a good year. So where do you see God at work around you now? I know we talked a little bit about that earlier, about what he's been teaching you. Where do you see him around you now or in the world? What do you see him doing?
I think he, like I was saying, with the little third grader, I think that God sent her into my life so I can know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I feel like she's really made me open my eyes on how much I can influence others and how fun and rewarding it is to see whenever they succeed.
Man, that's cool. I saw her tonight at junior league practice.
Oh yeah.
And her dad was trying to work with her and her dad's a good player, trying to get her to chip the ball up on the green, and she kept sculling it over the back of the green. I was drinking a Diet Coke and I was walking over to say hello to everybody. And I took my bottle cap and I set it down on the ground and I said, "Hey Liv, why don't you chip this up in there? Knock it up in there. I don't care how far it goes. Just see if you can get it up in there." Man, she hit that bottle cap and that thing went up in the air about 10 feet. Mm-hmm. I said, what did you do? She said, "I just got the club underneath the cap." And I said, "Okay, we'll do that with the golf ball. Quit trying to help the golf ball up in the air." And about the next six chip shots, she just hit those things up in there. They landed on the green, rolled out to the middle of the green. And her dad looked at me and said, "It's all you."
Yeah, she's so quick with that.
I knew she was trying to help that ball, and I just took the cap and threw it down on the ground. I said, "Hit that up in the air." I mean, so many times I think we try so hard that we miss the obvious. And you know, when somebody's trying to help the ball up in the air, all they're going to do is blade it, hit it fat or blade it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we can get them to slide that club underneath the back of the ball and just have a little steeper angle of attack and quit trying to hit up on it, I think that's sometimes all we need to do. I think she's going to be a force, and she's only in the third grade. I can't wait until she gets into middle school.
Me too. She's going to be crazy good.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So tell us about your family. You got mom, dad, you got a couple of sisters. We mentioned them earlier. I guess we can give them a little props here on the show. Tell us about your siblings and about your parents.
Well, I have an older sister and a younger sister, and my older sister, she's 19, and she's currently at Ole Miss, and she's going to be, I think she's in pharmacy school, and my younger sister is a sophomore at DCA, and she plays volleyball and track and tennis and just all the things, and cheerleading. She loves to cheer. But yeah, I'm really close with them, so I'm kind of sad.
She needs to play golf too, right?
Yeah, they actually are pretty good at golf.
Yeah, and Ellie needs to play. We need Ellie on the golf team next year.
I know. She'd go crazy.
Ellie, if you're listening, man, I got a spot for you.
I'll tell her. I'll give her a little application.
So the Biddle girls are known in the circles as Kennedy, obviously, won queen in homecoming a year and a half ago. She was the queen. You were the middle Biddle, and Ellie was the little Biddle.
Yep.
Ellie is not so much the little Biddle anymore.
She is not.
And Kennedy is no longer the queen. Somebody else is the queen. Did somebody else win queen at homecoming this year?
It was me.
Oh man. So. In 2 years, we're basically putting a lot of pressure upon the little Biddle to take that throne three deep, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Nobody else would know this but me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Not only were you and Kennedy homecoming queens, but your mother was homecoming queen at Newport in Good Pasture years ago, and your grandmother, your dad's mother, was homecoming queen also, correct?
Correct.
Wow.
I know.
And Ellie, if you're listening, you have got a long line of queens. You've got to keep the throne going. That's
She will.
Wow.
I believe it.
Incredible. All right. So Jake and Shayna, tell us about them. How did they meet? And tell us a little bit about them.
Oh gosh. So my dad played basketball at Francis Marion University in South Carolina or North Carolina, not sure. And my mom went to Samford in Alabama. And and then once they graduated from that, they met at Cumberland, I believe, for their masters. And that's how they met and how they started all of us. But I love them. They're so supportive in everything I do, and they're always so encouraging, and they're never negative towards me in any way. Or if I have a passion for something like golf, they do nothing but help me in every way, and I really appreciate that
You do have awesome parents. I can tell you that
they're the best.
They will do anything that their children want to do. They chased Ellie around the country with volleyball tournaments and goodness gracious, how many golf tournaments have they followed you or gotten you to? They're super people. They're good friends and. Oh, gosh, I'm proud to have them in my life as well.
Yeah, they're great.
Everybody needs a Jake and Shayna in their life, right?
I agree.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They're special people. I know a little bit about their story. I know Jake's from Southern Indiana, and Shayna's from right here in Old Hickory, Tennessee, and they met at Cumberland and. God just had to get them there to get them to meet each other. Yep. The rest is history. They've got three beautiful girls and great family, and I think it's a tribute to their character, the way the girls have grown up. I think everybody likes Kennedy and Sloan and Ellie very much, and they're as they should. Y'all are like three peas in a pod.
Yep.
Fun to have in junior golf. There were good memories in junior golf. So they're all your best friends, right?
Yep, they are. Best friends I could ever ask for.
Well, I wish I could say that about my brothers, but that'll be a different show. That'll be a different show. Well, Sloan, if you had one wish that you could grant, what would that wish be? I know that wasn't on the list that I sent you, but what would that wish be and why?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think my wish would be for, like, no issues to happen, like, ever. I mean, not everything go, like, perfectly all the time because nobody's perfect. But I feel like if there was no, like, issues with school or, like, worrying, I think worrying is probably my biggest issue, obviously. But everyone's biggest issue is, like, worrying about paying bills, paying rent, paying this, doing all of that stuff. And I feel like if everyone would just be calm, then the world would just be better and nobody would ever like hate other people just because they're worrying about something else. I feel like that would just solve the world's problem.
You know, that sounds a lot like heaven. I think we have that to look forward to one day.
That's true.
That's what heaven's going to be like. I think, No more sorrow, no more crying, no more dying, no more death, none of that stuff. No more evil. That's heaven. I think as we traverse through this life, I think part of that is to draw us to Him, you know, to see our need for Him. To put Him first. And if we do that, I think all the rest of this kind of falls into place. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I mean, goodness gracious, we talked earlier about how hard life can get sometimes. It certainly zapped me when Shelby passed away, and you know, it's tough. But goodness gracious, he loves us. He looks out for us. He wants to have fellowship with us, and that's in the good and in the bad. And if we recognize that, I think it's going to make life a little bit better for all of us.
For sure.
So, a parting shot. Is there anything that you can say about our relationship? I don't think I have the magic potion, but what is something that you've learned about yourself through coaching that has made the biggest impact on you? Has it been about the swing, or has it been more about how you look at the game, how you look at life?
I would say it's more about how you look at the golf course. Well, I guess it's kind of both. But the main thing is how you look at the golf course, just because everyone sees it in a different way. But if you can see it as like, oh, I need to miss it here in order to have a good shot, instead of like, oh, I can't miss to the right because there's water and I can't go over because there's sand. You just have to have like a miss shot. And that's like where you need to miss, because that's positive thoughts in your head rather than like so many other negative thoughts that could go wrong. And I feel like that's one thing that I've learned the past summer and realizing that not every shot is going to be perfect, so you need to have a little bit of a backup plan.
Yeah, that's wise advice there. I hope everybody got that. If you didn't get that, hit the rewind for about 30 seconds to a minute and listen to that again. I think that's there's a lot of wisdom in that, because so many times people, they play golf swing instead of playing golf.
Very true.
Playing golf is a game. You know, you're not always going to have your best stuff. And if you don't have your best stuff, how are you going to score?
Right. And sometimes whenever you're thinking about your swing too much, it'll just cause problems. So it's better just to kind of zone out whenever you're playing golf.
It puts you on the worry mode. And if we can worry less, we can enjoy the game more, and we can enjoy the walk more, and we don't have to worry about it as much. I mean, I watched Tiger Woods in the Masters today, and they said he hit 22 fairways the first 2 days. That's the most fairways he hit since 1997 in the first two rounds. And he only hit 17 of 36 greens, but he shot one over par. And you know, the Tiger of old might have been upset that he didn't hit as many greens, but the more mellow Tiger, I think, has really enjoyed being out there with the guys, with the competing part of it, and enjoying playing the game. And you know, it may not be the same Tiger that we watched for all those years, but man, it just looks like he's having fun now. He's hugging people when he's getting done playing. I always noticed that about you, Sloan, that when you finish playing with your friends and you want to find out how they did, you're not really trying to tell them how you played. You want to build them up and lift them up. And I think that's a gift that you have grown into something that's going to be very, very beneficial for you. Down the road, and I think that's a good thing, and I think that comes from what you learned on the golf course. You know, you got to have a way out. You got to play the game. You got to quit trying to be so perfect, hitting the ball and making the perfect swing. You know, when you hook it, that the face is a little shut, and if you leave it out a little right, you don't panic over it. You play the game, you play the shot, and you just work it the best you can. You got to figure that out when you're playing in college, because, man, you're going to be walking 36 holes one day and riding 36 holes one day and walking 18 the next day. And it's going to be a lot like work. So just enjoy the process and apply what you've learned to what you're going to do at Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good. It's going to be fun watching you. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on the show and doing this with me. Look, I love you like a daughter, and I know you're quick to point out to everybody that you're more like my granddaughter. You don't necessarily have to do that, but I know you do, and it's all in good fun, but you're a special person. Thanks for coming on the show and letting everybody take a glimpse into what makes Sloan Biddle tick.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's fun.
Thank you for joining the Jay to the Third podcast today. Joey can be reached by email at ohccjsh@gmail.com. Feel free to leave comments, suggestions, questions, or inquiries about joining the show as a guest. Special thanks to the supporters and sponsors of our show.